Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's 12 minutes after 4 o'clock on a beautiful Friday. Jordana Green in studio downtown. Paul Douglas on remote studio up at Pelican Lake.
I got my studio.
Nice.
I'm here with my my dog, Leo.
It's take your dog to work day.
Is it?
It is.
I didn't even know that. That's weird how that works.
I thought about that as I saw Leo on your couch because Paul and I are FaceTiming during the show so we can see each other. And I thought, Oh, look, Leo came to work today.
Yeah.
I posted a picture of Nala on our Facebook page, the Paul and Jordana Facebook page. She's our new puppy. And asked you to post yours. So people are posting away. So thank you. We would love to see your puppies. And hey, if you're allowed to take them to work, send a picture of your dog at work. That's way more fun. I think we have a mystery guest over in the CCO closet. Ooh. Is it Liz? Is it Amelia? Let's see. Anyone over there?
No.
Oh, they're not. Oh, Susan said she saw breathing because Frank is out today.
So I saw Paul breathing because I had
mystery.
Him in Q2.
Oh, God.
That was me breathing?
Yeah, I
no
think so.
No mystery guest. No mystery
Sorry.
Guest.
Sorry.
Anyway, back to take your dog to work day. We would like to see pictures of that. So that post that on the Paul and Jordana page. Did you know, speaking of animals, Paul, did you know that the NPR raccoon is still tweeting?
Really?
He's got his own, or she, excuse me, it's a she. She has her own Twitter handle, and she is a big tweeter, apparently. She's tweeting almost daily. Yesterday, she tweeted, "I'm just glad Melania wasn't wearing a raccoon skin jacket." You know, we talked a lot about Melania's jacket. Today, the day before she tweeted, "Pigeons are such imposters," as the folks over at NPR were taking pictures of the pigeons on their ledges. I think she's a little jealous that the pigeons are getting some play. So funny.
I was in Germany when that all shook out last week, but I was amazed at how viral that went.
It was global. I mean, did you hear about it in Germany?
Yes.
It's pretty amazing.
They were tracking the raccoon in Munich.
So
really?
She's tweeting away. I follow her.
Wow.
She's got 1,200 followers, or almost 1,300 followers, so she's doing a good job.
She's going to have her own TV show here soon, right?
Now, I know you're up at the lake, but have you ever been to our Pride Festival here downtown, the parade?
I'm sure I have. Not recently, but I'm pretty sure in the past, yep.
It's an absolute
blast.
In your previous life? Yeah, it's an absolute blast. I brought my youngest last time, and it is a spectacle. It's so fun. I mean, the costumes that come out, everybody just goes all out. It's colorful, and it's fun, and generally it's very, very kind. But did you know, a little bit of history lesson on the Pride Parade, did you know Pride started as a riot? It's true. It was June 28th in 1969 in Greenwich Village, New York City police raided the Stonewall Inn in the village. It was home to many of New York City's gay, lesbian, LGBTQ community. They were mostly a marginalized people back in 1969. They felt they could safely congregate at the Stonewall Inn. Now, police raids of such bars were common at the time, but this time was different. The Stonewall's patrons fought back, spawning a series of demonstrations in the days that followed and a whole new level of activism. In this moment of bravery and the face of police violence became the Pride movement. That's why Pride festivals are often in late June to commemorate the fighting back, the storming of the Stonewall Inn and them getting out of that Bastille, you know, sort of like Bastille Day. They were getting out. They were escaping. The Stonewall Inn folks fought back. Isn't that a great story?
It is a good, I had no idea.
Yeah, so on Sunday, I will be down visiting Pride. It's a blast. There's always such positive, in my opinion, there's positive energy at the Pride Parade. And I love how it sort of brings a lot of different people together. Everybody feels welcome, at least in my interactions at the Pride Parade. I haven't seen any negativity, but I've only felt the love.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need some more of that.
We absolutely need some more of that. Coming up in the next hour, Paul, we're going to talk finally, and I'm really glad we're going to address this, this ketamine probe. You know, the MPD have been accused in a draft report of asking EMT workers to sedate suspects with ketamine. Now, ketamine is a tranquilizer often known as the date rape drug. So even some suspects that were already in handcuffs and already, you know, like disabled, like they couldn't escape, it is said in this draft report that officers were asking EMTs that arrived on the scene to sedate them to make it easier to bring them into custody. And they were sedated so much so that some of them had to be medically revived at the hospital. Just to give you an idea of what was in the Star Tribune report and in the draft report, it says that in 2012, there were 3 cases of ketamine use during an arrest. And in 2017, there were 62 cases. So it's quite a jump. We're going to talk with Andy Mannix, who has been reporting on this for the Star Tribune, to sort of shake this all out for us. Because then, you know, Medarius Arredondo came back and said, no, that report wasn't final. It wasn't formal. You're missing some information. We have now been hearing from some civic groups that say this is an absolute outrage and need to be shined a light on. So we're going to shake out the ketamine probe.
What's the constitutionality of somebody giving you a sedative, mm-hmm. a shot, any medication against your will?
And that's a great question.
Because that too is a slippery mm-hmm. slope.
It is a slippery slope. We're going to ask Andy all those questions. If you have any, send us a text at 81807, and we will try to get them all in with Andy. That's coming up at 5:10. Andy Mannix from the Star Tribune will be joining us. But we should take a break because we have some weather therapy to do, correct?
We do. There is a risk of manure in southern Minnesota.
Okay, so maybe we won't do this segment because that sounds really gross.
And I'm not joking. I mean, this is the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency sent out a special advisory on manure overflows, which does not sound pleasant. Mm-hmm. We'll have the very latest on that and other stuff in weather therapy coming up on CCO. Yada, 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 yada. Everybody has an opinion. I think you're going to be happy with the weather tomorrow, Jor, but
great.
Sunday through Tuesday.
Oh, I'm glad I'm going to be happy with it.
Another very slow-moving storm.
Tomorrow, you know, Paul, because I'm reading names at the Wall Memorial over at our state capitol. Yep. So
right.
I know we have the Wall That Heals, the 3/4 scale mobile replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, mm-hmm. D.C., and some people from our station have been reading off the names of those who fought valiantly and lost their lives during the Vietnam War. Jerry Peterson was there, I think, Thursday, so it's been like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I will be going there Saturday to read the names, so I hope to see folks out there, and I'm glad we're having good weather.
It's going to be a moving experience. Did you see it in D.C.?
No.
The Vietnam?
No.
Well, it's incredibly moving. I mean, when you're there, you can mm-hmm. feel the energy. It's hard to explain, mm-hmm. but I just remember it was pretty profound. So thank you for doing that, Jor. Make sure you're wearing mosquito repellent and light-colored clothing.
Ooh, good advice.
Because the skeeters are out of control. And, you know, it's not that officials aren't trying to do things about this. The Metropolitan Mosquito Control District has 6 choppers, 6 helicopters, and they drop these little pellets into wetlands, trying to kill the mosquito larvae before they get to 8 or 9 days old, before they can actually fly away. They've already treated 40,000 acres just in the 7 county metro area in the past couple of days. So, there are measures being taken, but again, you can only do so much, especially after a period of very wet weather. So with more rain in the forecast Sunday through Tuesday, things may get a little bit worse before things begin to improve. The way this summer will probably pan out, like most summers, it starts out wet in June and then things gradually dry out latter half of July into August. If you're heading into southern Minnesota, be on the lookout for manure. It's a serious
really?
Concern, Jor.
Really?
Yeah.
Like just floating along, back, like on the road. I mean, come on, Paul.
Back to you.
Where? How? Why is there manure that's going to be in my path?
Why do I get the crappy stories? Recent heavy rain in southern Minnesota. They've picked up 1 to 2 months worth of rain in southern Minnesota this week. And a lot of standing water. And usually the standing water isn't a problem other than keeping farmers out of their fields. That's a problem. But livestock producers are scrambling to stem the overflow from livestock manure storage basins.
Oh, gosh.
And without going into a lot of detail, when there's a lot of water and that water interacts with those areas where manure is being stored, the manure can wind up moving downstream, and that's not good for anybody. And if you suspect you might have a problem, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency asks that you give them a call. Write this down, Jordana. 800-657-3864 is the toll-free number to call the MPCA. Speaking of flooding, the St. Croix is forecast to peak tomorrow in Stillwater at a height of 85 feet. Actually, 84.1 is the expected crest in Stillwater. Mm-hmm. According to St. Croix County Emergency Support Services, problems start to set in at 85 feet. So we're still just a little bit below where some of the homes in Hudson's Front Street might start to experience flooding. But this is all part of that mega flood that hit northwestern Wisconsin. They got up to 10 inches of rain earlier this week up in Douglas County, Burnett County, and some of that water is coming down right down the St. Croix. So keeping an eye on that. I think that's all I got. Do you have any questions, comments, or threats?
Gee, can we talk more about poop?
Come on.
The things you learn in weather therapy. Only here, only on the
news.
Show.
Yeah. This is news, all right?
Wait, what else are you going to say?
Attitude,
go ahead.
I'll call my wife. Mm-hmm. I can't help it. I don't report this. I don't make this stuff. George, it looks like it's going to get hot again. The computer models are consistent, taking us back into the 90s next weekend.
I'm okay with that. Bring on the heat. I love it.
With high humidity, maybe a few severe storms, but this is going to be a stinking hot summer. Typical summer, we get 13 days above 90. The way it's rolling out here, I think we'll get 20, 25 easy before the state fair arrives. So who would have predicted this back in mid-April when we were, you know, hip deep in snowdrifts?
Please, I remember
the concern was,
well.
Oh, my God, Paul, we're not going to get a summer. We get cheated. We're going to be cheated. Our summers are short enough, and I understand people are paranoid, you know, when it snows in mid-April. But Mother Nature making up for lost time. So we're going to get a real summer, no doubt in my mind.
Good. That's what we like to hear. We deserve it in Minnesota. We should enjoy it.
Got another poop update here.
Oh, boy.
This just I'm just kidding. Back to you.
Hold on. Someone texted in. Paul, there are very few... there are very few men or lagoons. Oh, manure lagoons. Sorry, they must have been voice texting. Manure lagoons in southern Minnesota that hold farm waste. Most of them are stored in buildings underneath hogs. Therefore, canners do even in events like this. I'm sorry, you're voice texting and I couldn't read it, but I was excited to read a manure text to you. They'll have to text in when they get home and they can actually text. But you've hit a nerve here. This is the poop show.
It's a real concern. Hey, we're just... The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency sent this out today, and
I appreciate it.
I wanted our listeners in southern Minnesota to know what to do. If they're involved in feedlots, you know, livestock, and many farmers make their living that way. So, you know, and we need them, but, you know, the poop can be an issue.
Okay. And scene. Okay. It's 4:30. We're going beyond the headlines after Edgar's News on CCO. Welcome back. It is 4:38. Paul and Jordana here. Jordana in studio. Paul at the cabin. You ready for some Beyond
My
the Headlines?
Cabin studio. Yes, thank you.
The cabin studio. That's what we're calling it. I really
like that.
Well, retailers are selling I Really Care jackets in response to Melania Trump's jacket or fashion faux pas yesterday as she was boarding a plane to visit immigrant children. And by the way, they've already sold out twice. It's true. Online retailer Wild Fang quickly released a response in the form of merchandising featuring the phrase, I really care, don't you? The brand is selling a jacket, $98, and a matching T-shirt, $40, with 100% of the proceeds going to the Refugee and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services called RAICES, R-A-I-C-E-S, in Texas. The response was almost immediate. The founder, Emma McElroy of Wild Fang, said, quote, it seemed fairly obvious to us what's happened this week in our country is appalling. Our whole team is outraged and we refuse to stand by and watch. We stand proudly with immigrants and support their rights. Racist does amazing things for their families. Now, keep in mind, the collection has sold out twice already. It's already raised $30,000 in the span of a few hours for the races organization. And 100% of the proceeds are going to this organization. Other PSA Supply also released a T-shirt for $29 that says, I really do care, don't you? 100% of their proceeds go to an organization called United We Dream, the largest immigrant youth-led network in the country. So other retailers are having this retail response with 100% of the proceeds going to philanthropic organizations.
Interesting. Okay. Ouch. All right. I'm going to turn in a different direction.
Okay.
Here. Burger King. You saw this about Burger King?
Yeah.
Russia.
Yeah.
They are apologizing for a World Cup promotion offering Whoppers and money to any women impregnated by soccer players. You can't make this stuff up. Fox News reports that Burger King Russia is apologizing for a whopper of a blunder. Now, this is the Russian arm of the restaurant chain. It has nothing to do with Burger King USA. Want to make that clear. But for a time, there was a promotion offering money and free food to women impregnated by World Cup athletes.
This is insane.
Eventually, huh?
This is insane.
I know. Well, it's Russia. At some point, they withdrew this, saying that, yes, oh, we're sorry, it's too insulting. We apologize for the statement we made, Burger King Russia stated in a post shared to the Russian social media platform VK.com. It turned out to be too insulting. We thank you for the feedback and hasten to inform you that we have already removed all materials related to the application. But the fact that somebody somewhere was thick enough, dumb enough to think, hey, this will be kind of funny and this could. But then again, it did get us talking about Burger King.
Boy, we've had some major marketing blunders this week, huh? Get on message, people. Get on message. Stop being so tone deaf. My goodness.
I'm hungry for a Whopper, though.
Right? How about a hot dog? You ever been hit in the face by a hot dog, Paul?
Not while sober, no. Thank
Apparently,
you.
It can really hurt. Monday night,
I'll bet.
Yes, Kathy McVay was at a Philadelphia Phillies game. She was seated behind home plate when the Philly Fanatic, rolled onto the field with his hot dog launcher. The giant green mascot started firing hot dogs into the stands. And apparently, the hot dogs, of course, are real, and they're wrapped in duct tape. And one hit her straight in the head. She says, the next thing I knew, he shot it in our direction, and bam, it hit me like a ton of bricks. My glasses Whoa. Flew off. She is all black and blue. She is swollen. She has a small hematoma in her eye. She said it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. Don't worry, Yikes. McVay is a big Phillies fan. She doesn't plan on taking any legal action, but she has a message for fellow fans in the stands. Watch out for flying hot dogs. Yes, the Phillies reached out to McVay and apologized on Tuesday. They feel the Fanatic feels terrible about this, of course, and they have offered her tickets to another game when she feels better and wants to return.
It was only a matter of time.
Flying
right?
hot dogs, baby. Flying hot dogs. It's a problem in America.
Goodness. It is. I predicted that, though. I did.
You did not. Nobody predicted that.
A shower of hot dogs. Jor, NASA can't find most of the asteroids out there that could actually hit the Earth.
It's kind of a problem.
And wipe us out. Mm-hmm. In fact, NASA is not going to be able to find all of the asteroids big enough to cause serious devastation by 2020 or even 2033.
Why, Paul? Why?
They need at least a 10-year head start to be able to build a spacecraft to be able to divert a seriously big asteroid that's on a collision course. They need more money, and it looks like under the Trump administration, they are going to get more money, $150 million. That's what they're requesting, to fund a mission to demonstrate a spacecraft called DART that could, in theory, on paper, deflect an Earthbound asteroid. All you need, Jor, is an asteroid that's 140 meters across,
okay,
roughly 1.5 times the size of a football field. And that would create a detonation when it hit the Earth, roughly equivalent to a 10 or 20 megaton nuclear bomb.
Oh, boy.
So, and it's happened. It's happened in Siberia a couple of times. Lightly populated areas, if it happened in a heavily populated area, that would be a problem. Mm-hmm. Get this. NASA says it would be unlikely to detect an object of this size with more than a few days of warning. So that's great.
So we're
and
screwed.
Would they even tell us, mm-hmm, if there's something moving towards, because there'd be pandemonium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're screwed.
I don't know.
This texter writes
so
better.
Anyway,
this texter writes better than
they're working
than a flying
on
wiener.
It. They're trying to get more money. But again, the whole plot line of Armageddon, remember the movie? What was it? Armageddon? At some point, something like this is going to happen. And Elon Musk will volunteer.
Well, I hope so. Someone's got to step up.
Yep.
Remember Coco the gorilla? Coco could do sign language. It changed our view of animal intelligence. And I don't mean to bring you down, but Coco's dead. Yeah.
What?
I did just bring you down. Sorry about that. I just want you to remember Coco fondly. Coco said in sign language, soft, while he was cradling a kitten. And a ball and said, good cat, to a ball because it resembled a fuzzy gray pom-pom like the cat. Oh, isn't that sweet? Yes. Unfortunately, Coco has passed away. Her human handlers are very sad and are grateful that she was able to capture the joys and annoyances of maternal love in a string of simple words. She changed the way we thought about gorillas, about their intelligence abilities. Coco touched the lives of millions as an ambassador for all gorillas at an icon for interspecies communication, the Gorilla Foundation said in a statement. Yes, there is a Gorilla Foundation. She was beloved,
wow,
and she will be deeply missed. Love you, Coco. By the way, by the end of her life, Coco had used more than 1,000 signs and understood more than 2,000 words. Isn't that amazing?
That's more than most of my friends can understand.
All right. I agree. I've met your friends.
I need smarter friends. Did you see, though, and I saw that story, one of the coolest things, did you see that Coco met Mr. Rogers?
Oh, did they?
Mm-hmm. And was a fan of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the TV show on PBS. And get this, when Coco met Mr. Rogers, Coco took off his shoes because she remembered that's what he did at the beginning of the show, every episode. So Coco took off his shoes and just kind of cuddled with him.
I love that.
Isn't that cool?
I love that. Well, you know a lot about Coco.
Right.
Are you a member of the Gorilla Foundation?
I am.
Yeah. She will be missed. She will be missed.
Gorilla my dreams.
You. Oh, you're good today. Mike Max is over at the WCCO Shelby Closet Studio.
I am.
I got somebody in the closet. I got somebody at the lake. We're all over the place today. Goodness.
And I saw Jordana this morning while I was having coffee. Great to see you and your family.
You too.
I had my weekly coffee with Jay Coughlin over there and ran into you. It was a fun conversation.
And he's a good guy also. Does he have a new book out?
He doesn't, but we just like to visit, you know?
Very nice.
And sometimes you just need to visit with somebody that you can trust and throw things off of, you know?
Absolutely. A lot of fun stories coming out of the draft last night. I know you want to talk about, Josh, is it Okogie?
Okogie. Yeah, I think I'm right. Yeah, he's the newest Timberwolves, 20th pick overall. I don't sense that they're like jumping up and down going, boy, I can't wait to get big Josh here. He's not that kind of a guy. When you get him at 20 overall, that means that with a veteran team like this, he's going to have to wait his turn or somebody's going to have to get injured for him to get playing time. If he can play defensively, he can give you some minutes and you want that. You want a guy that can come in real athletic and you just say, you, Josh, guard him for the next 8 minutes, and that's all you need to do for us tonight. So maybe he can offer them a little bit of that, but in reality, with where the Timberwolves are at right now, and they're playing veterans, and where the league is at right now, a 20th overall pick, you don't have real high expectations for him immediately.
There was also that great story that came out of the draft, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, Mikey, about the kid who went to the 76ers, and he's from Philly, and then immediately...
got traded.
Yes! Yeah.
I mean, welcome to the NBA. This is what happens on draft night, and it's hard to follow if you haven't seen it before, but a lot of these deals are done. And what happens is, let's say you've got the number 6 overall pick, and then a team calls you and they go, hey, if you get the number 6 and so-and-so is available, if you draft him for us, then we will give you this. So the deals are already in place, except they're contingent upon making sure that that team is, you know, gets the player that you want. So those deals are all set way in advance. They can happen day of. But it's very common in the NBA. They're drafting and trading all night, and you need a scorecard to keep up with it.
Mike Max, thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend, my friend, and we'll catch you on Monday.
You guys do the same. Twins, and good game tonight. Should be fun.
Absolutely. And we'll be back with the Star Tribune coming up at 5:10 after the news.